Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing this fine day?
I am good, and I'm ready to go.
Good. We were talking before we went on the air. You seemed a little crusty to me, a little salty, a little salt of the earth, and I think that's what we should be talking about.
Yes, I'm well pickled.
You're well pickled. The miracle of crystal salt. And of course, as we've said many, many times, when we talk about salt, we are not talking about that white stuff that you probably have on your kitchen table that you sprinkle on French fries and everything else.
Sprinkle it what?
Pour it on.
No, I meant French what? I tell you this, we already said it many times, refined anything is bad news.
Yeah.
You know, refined sugar is bad news, refined flour is, refined oils, and so is refined salt. It's just not right.
And one of the reasons why I'm glad we keep bringing this up is because in my mind, there's only one salt, because I grew up with that refined salt, and to me, that is salt. And when I almost cannot conceive of salt being anything than that white powdery stuff that tastes salty, right?
Well, you know, the stuff that we have when we mill the whole salt crystals, it looks like table salt, except it's a little dirtier looking. You know, the Celtic salt is kind of gray and sticky. The Himalayan salt is pinkish. There are all kinds of other salts, you know, ranging in colors from almost black to fairly clear white. Or, you know, when you crush it, it's white.
Right.
In fact, crystal salt, when it's in large pieces, it's glass-like or quartz-like. You know, these big crystals of salt we have, and we sell them in the for the making of brine. We sell it as the salt pieces. They are, you know, large chunks of crystal that look a lot like big pieces of glass. They don't look white. White's there because when you crush it into small particles, the light refracts differently.
Interesting.
But that happens to glass too, right? When you crush glass, it turns into this white powder.
Oh, don't sprinkle that on anything, though.
Right. No, don't.
Anyway, so Martin, you were going to tell me before we went on the air about the first time you drank a salt brine mixture. Because one of the things that we talk about is, you know, you take this salt and you can put it in some water and create a salt brine. And I would really appreciate if you could share that story with our listeners.
Yes. All right. I took the lovely pink pieces of the salt and I let it dissolve overnight. And then I took a teaspoon of that saturated brine, put it in a glass of water. That was a Pearl water. And then I drank. I took one sip and I waited. And it was practically an orgasmic experience.
Oh.
It's that sort of shivers up and down your spine as if something most wonderful happened. It was a tickle that just went from the top of my head down to the tips of my toes. And it was as if something was readjusting and realigning. And it's just as if you had, you know, a stack of dominoes that were out of place. And all of a sudden, you just sort of realign it. Oh, tick, 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 tick. Everything went into place.
Wow.
That's amazing. It was that. It felt like that. Wow.
Huh.
And so I thought, well, I'd like to experience that again. So I took another sip, and I felt it a wee bit. And I took a third sip, and that's it. And I have not felt that since.
So I guess once you're realigned, you're realigned.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the first cut, you know.
Yeah.
It's you're a virgin only once, and then it's over.
I've actually heard that with meditation as well, where some people will say, you know, they have these wonderful, just loving, energetic, warm, meditative experiences, and then it goes away. And someone who's an experienced meditator said, yes, that's how we trick you into really meditating and loving it and getting in the habit of it. And then it's time to get down to the real work of calming your mind and everything else, and all that stuff goes out the window.
You know, it's an interesting thing. I started practicing yoga when I was 23.
Wow.
And I was reading in the book that I was learning it from a book. And in the book it said, don't be surprised that you will experience the more acute sensory inputs. I thought, what the heck is that?
Yeah, acute sensory inputs. I was going to ask you what that meant, too.
And strange enough, about, 5 or 6 days into it, I started, getting it, and I started getting the flow.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, all colors became brighter. Sounds became clearer. I could see farther. I could see clearer, and everything around me was more beautiful.
Mm.
Just appreciating the beauty of everything, and anyway. So that's the experience from heightening your vibrational experience.
Nice. Yeah.
So I want to tell you. So after this happened, I have this friend who's an energetic worker, and she's a raw food chef and all of that. She's really experienced with working with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent her some of the salt, and I said to her, "Do not do anything until you talk to me. Don't touch this stuff until you talk to me." So. She said, okay, I've got the salt, I got it melted, I'm ready, tell me. So I said, so listen, what you want to do is you want to experience it, you want to make it, give it some space, allow it to really let you experience what this is all about. So she actually took it. She lives by the coast of the Pacific Ocean. So she took it with her, went to the beach, her favorite hangout, and took it there. She called me 3 hours later, and she said, okay, I got it. I talked to God for 3 hours. I know how everything in the universe works. Thank you.
Wow.
which was quite amazing. I mean, imagine how this would have felt in being able to realign yourself energetically with just one glass of water with one teaspoon of salt of the ancient origin.
Wow, yeah. That is an amazing story, Martin.
Yes. And I also asked her if she was able to experience it again, and no. It's just the first time, one time.
Hmm.
And actually, this is not new. This happens also to people who buy our Ormus material, the nano minerals, white gold, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It oftentimes creates an experience of that magnitude. And again, people call and say, I want this back. I want this again. And it's not coming.
Kind of a law of the universe?
I don't know. Maybe it just sets a new normal. Maybe the shift from dull, like shifting from black and white movies to color movies, is you first notice it big time. But after you've watched everything in color for a while, it's just normal.
You remind me of when I swim. I jump in the water and it's like, brrr, it's very cold. But after 5 minutes, it's like I don't feel cold, right? It just feels nice and normal.
Yeah, you're adjusted.
But in the beginning, it's like, oh, it's cold. And then it's like, oh, this is nice. I like this.
Right.
So maybe that's the truth. Yeah. That's a good way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, the most reasonable point I would like to make is, so why bother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why bother just once, or why bother forever? Well, I think if it gives you the energetic shift the first time, it must be giving you the energetic shift over and over.
It's just keeping you there.
Or keeping you there, yes. Yeah, maybe if you give up on it for 3 years and then try again, it might come back.
Yeah, but we don't want to encourage anyone to go back to eating McDonald's hamburgers for 3 years and then taking the salt prime again.
Yes.
That's not a good way to do it.
I wouldn't encourage that. So the point is this. The Himalayan salt is rich in other trace minerals, even though it's 98% salt. The other 2% are all the trace minerals that you would have found in the ancient seas. I call it the womb or the amniotic fluid of life, because the Himalayan salt is from the seas that had trilobites in it.
Yeah.
So this
a trilobite, Martin?
Oh, these are these creatures that look sort of like a horseshoe. They sort of look like a an insect, except they're about the size of two hands held together, and they are found in fossils. They are old, ancient, extinct species that was very busily swimming in these oceans 250 million years ago. And those were the waters that they were swimming in. And those were the waters that, according to at least the evolution theory, gave rise to the species that followed, including all of the fish and mammals and everything else.
Well, certainly the ocean was teeming with life, so there had to be a lot in it that would encourage living.
Right. So anyway, that's the mix that's present in that salt. So when we dissolve it and make the brine out of it, we're getting all of those original minerals, which must be the right kind of thing going, because when we use that salt, for instance, for brushing teeth, we end up with dissolving the plaque that develops on people's gum line, or your digestion tends to improve because you have better mix of the digestive minerals.
I was going to ask you, what other ways could you use it? You've just given us two.
Right, yes. Well, typically, saline solution is the thing that soothes tissue that's inflamed. Mm. If you have red gums, you salt them down, it calms it down. Or, I don't know, where else? Well, wherever you have an inflammation, let's just say that you have a sinus cold or something like that, your stuffy nose, and one of the better ways to do it would be to do an inhalation therapy. You put some of this brine into a pot of water on the stove and boil it and put a towel over your head and inhale it.
I used to do that a lot when I was a kid, although I don't know that we had salt in there. But that was a way that we dealt with colds.
Yes.
I'd forgotten about that, actually.
Yeah. There's a page on our website under the Himalayan salt education where we have salt applications. Toothbrushing, the brine bath, the bath you can use. You need to create a 1% saline solution, which is fairly thick. You need to take 2 pounds of salt in a typical tub of 25 gallons, or a kilo in 100 liters if you want it in metric. So it's not cheap, it's like $20 worth of salt for the bath. But that's what you need to do to create the fully revitalizing bath with sufficient osmotic pressure that's going to pull toxins out of you and replenish minerals into you.
Right. And there's also like the salt crystal lamps. How do they work?
Well, the principle on which this works is the release of negative ions. There's moisture in the air, and when you heat the salt, it's sticky and it gives off negative ions. So a typical office or indoor space is rich in positive ions. Your computer gives off positive ions. When you're walking across carpet, you're creating positive ionization. When you rub your polyester shirt on your hair and your hair stands on end, that's positive ionization. Mm-hmm. Negative ions is what happens in a forest. If you walk into a forest, that calm, cool, misty air.
Yeah, the nice, refreshing feeling that you get from being in the forest.
Yep, that's negative ions. Also, the typical outdoor space, like forest, will have 2,000 ions per milliliter. Typical indoor space will have like 200, 10 times less.
Wow.
So when you're heating the salt, and you could be you know, you can easily build one of these salt lamp-like creatures by taking a kilo or two of the salt pieces and putting them into a salad bowl and sticking a light bulb in that salad bowl, just heating it up, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, so as you're creating the heat, the salt will evaporate and it will create negative ions, and it will decrease the dust that flies in the air. I had one gal, she bought a couple of the lamps from us and turned them on. She says, you know, the first thing I've noticed that the dander from my cats is no longer flying in the air. It's just clean. It's gone.
Right.
That would be the first thing you notice. Positive ions create all the static. They repel one another and they make this, your skin cells. Whether you're just a human or living with pets, you know, there's all these little fluff flying. I don't know if you've ever noticed it.
Yeah, I have.
You know, as you sit by a window, as the light streams into your space, you will notice the dust flying around. Right?
I have actually two. One's in my living room, one's in my bedroom. And as you were talking, I thought, yeah, I hardly ever have to dust in my living room
space.
Or my bedroom.
Yes. Yeah, that's because the dust doesn't accumulate there. It will accumulate anywhere near a computer, though, quite narrowly, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's dust, lots around my computer.
Yeah, dust bunnies all around the cables.
Huh.
So, yeah, that would be that. So, the baths, you know, interesting tradition, the full moon bath and the new moon bath, they're saying that the full moon is when the body's absorption is at its high point. So you'd want to take at the full moon, you just absorb most of the minerals. Whereas if you do a new moon bath, the detox or detoxification capacity is at its highest. So that would be the time when you would get rid of the most toxins.
Huh. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Have you looked at the Life Enthusiast website on the page that says about salt therapy? There are all these different applications. Brine steam inhalation, brine poultice, oral care. But the really interesting one is near the bottom of the page where it says, see the effects of brine therapy. People use dark field microscopes to show how your blood is behaving, and when your blood is sticky, the red blood cells tend to clump together and create chains and whatnot. So when you take the brine, it tends to energetically improve on your blood tremendously.
Wow!
Unclump it and. Anyway, there we have it. We're showing the evidence for anyone to see.
Yeah, so then the blood flows more easily. There's less, your blood pressure drops.
Yes, and and the blood cells can get into the capillaries easier, which means that you will oxygenate the tissues at a better rate.
Right, right. And that's just a huge impact on people's health.
Right. So, yeah. You need to take whole salt, not refined salt. Refined salt tends to cause acidity, tends to cause all kinds of trouble with, sodium retention is really a problem of how your adrenals work. The way these things work is that the hormone called cortisol that's released by adrenals as response to stress is only taken out of circulation when you sit down, relax, meditate, or sleep. And cortisol, high presence of cortisol, is blocking the release of sodium. So you're retaining sodium if your cortisol level is high. And that's how they are telling you, don't take too much salt because you will rise your level of sodium, therefore you will cause yourself high blood pressure. But it's the other side of you're unable to relax, and therefore you're retaining the sodium.
Hmm.
So if you have a high blood pressure and they're telling you, oh, you must not use salt, the answer was, no, what you need is to learn how to meditate and relax. But the other thing is you need to start taking natural salt instead of the refined salt. Because
right.
the refined salt will cause you to have acidity in the body, whereas the natural salt will not.
Right. That's the important thing. And one of the things we keep talking about, too, is making sure that we've got what is created naturally for us instead of something that we've
refined.
Refined. I want to use a different word.
Well, take an apple, right? If you start with an apple and you take the apple juice out of it and you take the vitamin C out of it and maybe the pulp and whatever else, right? You just take it apart into its building blocks, the constituents from which it's put together.
Right.
So now I tell you, okay, put it back together. Make me an apple out of this stuff that you took out of it.
Yeah, very hard to do.
Well, no chance. I mean, apple tree will do it magically and it'll grow an apple just fine. But you, sir, your engineer, if I give you all the ingredients that you tell me are in it, you can't build it. And this holds true for all of the superfoods and other living foods that we recommend to people. You cannot buy a multivitamin that has all these things on its label, the B1, B3, B6, B12, C and A and D1, D3, or whatever, all these magic letters, these mantras that the nutritionist will tell you, you need so many units of vitamin D and so many of vitamin E. Well, what you really need is whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
Because the building blocks of the apple are not the apple.
That's right.
And same thing goes with the salt. You can say, well, I get the sodium chloride in this refined table salt. Well, you do, but you don't get it together with all the other bits and pieces, both in the chemical sense, but also in the physical sense that it's supposed to contain.
Yeah. Great. So, Martin, if someone wanted to know more, get more details about Himalayan crystal salt and other things that the Life Enthusiast Co-op offers, where could they go?
Well, www.life-enthusiast.com. Go to the health education and click on Himalayan crystal salt. That's where the information that we're quoting is. We could also say listen to our other podcasts. There's all kinds of associated information there. You'll find a link on the same website under podcast. And you can call if you're just wondering what some words that we wrote down on the page mean. Call us at 1-866-543-3388. We'll be glad to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, Martin, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day to share some very, very interesting information with myself and our listeners. And to our listeners, we really appreciate you and taking time out of your busy day to listen to us. And hope you head over to Life Enthusiast Co-op's website, www.life-enthusiast.com, and see all of the articles and information we've got there that can make a huge impact on your life.